Tonight, would you take your Bibles and turn there, please? Acts chapter number 2. Thank you for being in church on this Wednesday night. I do appreciate that. Better than preaching to an empty room. And Acts chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1 and read down to verse number 13, if you would, please. Acts chapter 2, and in verse number 1, and reading down to verse number 13, if you would follow along as I read the scripture tonight. And the Bible says in Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language, wherein we were born? And it gives the list of the places here, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia. Phrygia and I'm trying to pronounce these, and I should have looked at these even better beforehand. And Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers in Rome, Jews and proselytes. All the people that had gathered together this time, the Bible says here, listed here in verse 11, it says Cretes and Arabians. And it says this, We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. As we look at this passage here, this is the day at Pentecost, the preaching at Pentecost, and where 3,000 souls would be saved and baptized, added to the church. What a wonderful sight that must have been. And as you see in this passage here, that it begins with this showing of the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon them. As you know, in the previous passage, Jesus gave his last challenge to the disciples. And in verse number 8 of chapter 1, and it says, But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost to come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And Jesus told them to dwell in Jerusalem, to stay there, he said, until ye be endued with power from on high. And they went to the upper room, they gathered together, and they prayed. And they prayed for God to speak and to work through them. And church, wouldn't that be a great truth for us to follow? Many times we see the Acts chapter 2 where we see the working of the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 1, you see that they prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit. And may that be what we seek in our lives. And we seek for answered prayer and we seek for God to work. But do we pray for God to move? As you see this in chapter number 2, as the Holy Spirit came upon them, the Holy Ghost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 4, and they began to speak with other tongues, the Bible says, that the Spirit gave them utterance. And in verse 5, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And in verse number 6, it says at the end of this, it says, because every man heard them speak in his own language. People had gathered together from all around, from every nation, the Bible says, under heaven. God had gathered everyone together, and as they preached and as they spoke, they heard it in their own tongue. And that was a miracle from God. This was the showing of the power of the Holy Spirit and how they heard this in their own language. This speaking in tongues was not speaking in gibberish. It wasn't speaking in an unknown tongue. As the Bible says, they heard them speak in their own language. Very clearly, isn't it? Very simple to understand. Tonight we're going to look at what does the Bible say about speaking in tongues? Because it's a big problem that we have at our church, speaking in tongues. No, it's not. Unless we're trying to sing a song without reading the words and you start getting mixed up on what you're singing. As I was doing on the last song, you started the song and my song was going another direction. And I thought that was not the one we were going to be doing. There was a man that came to church a while ago and he came for one or two Sundays, I forget. And Brother James and I went to visit him. And as we visited him and we asked his testimony of salvation, I forget if it was before that time or after that I'd heard that he had already been talked to about that and his salvation testimony was not strong. And as we talked to him about his salvation, we realized he had no salvation testimony. You know, one of those, I'm sure I got it settled sometime along the way. When you're born again, there's a very specific day, time, location, place where God works in your heart. You may forget the date, but God imprints it on your heart and on your mind, that moment of salvation, I believe. Now, there could be times where maybe someone is losing their memory, and they may not remember that moment of their salvation. He did not have that. So first of all, there's some big question marks in my mind. I thought, I don't believe he's saved. You know, when God starts raising the red flags in your mind, he doesn't have to convince me. It's like, there is no testimony of salvation there. And then he started asking us if we speak in tongues in the church. And I said, no, we don't, unless if you go to the nursery. There's a lot of speaking in tongues in there. And I said, no, we don't. And so he went through a number of things and really tried to convince us of speaking in tongues and what that meant. And he continued on further and said he wanted to go to a church where he could teach and asked if that could be here. And I said, well, if you're not saved and you're speaking in tongues, no, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be teaching at the church. And then he went on to tell us that he was no longer allowed to teach at Bethel. And so that's not a joke either. And if you're not allowed to teach at Bethel, you're really not allowed to teach here, unless if you're teaching the truth. you're preaching it straight down the line. And it was not the case there. And I thought, no, that's not going to happen. I'm sorry. And he tried to convince us. And then he had another wacky belief as we were leaving. And he said, I've talked to like a dozen preachers, and none of them have agreed with me on this. What do you think? And I was like, just let me go home. I just want to leave, please. And he wasn't listening. He was talking. You know how that goes on those visits. And you try to leave him with the truth and try to give him a scripture and let the Holy Spirit work and then say, you know, like Moses, let my people go. I want to go home. I'm watching the clock and it was getting later and later. And I thought, I want to go home. It was getting really late. But speaking in tongues, what does the Bible say about speaking in tongues? No doubt you've met someone that they speak in tongues. I've never personally been in a church where they speak in tongues. And so I'm not sure how that goes firsthand. I'm sure that is quite a sight. But as we look through Acts chapter number 2, you see how we see the filling of the Holy Spirit upon them. Jesus promised when he left, the Comforter would come. And when he left, the Comforter came. And this was not this Comforter coming, the Holy Spirit, but the filling of the power of the Holy Spirit, the showing of the power of the Holy Spirit upon these Christians. And it was immediately used in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the difference, right? When you see a lot of speaking in tongues, and a lot of churches there are really for edifying themselves. We'll get to that in the book of Corinthians, where it's really all about them and not about God. It's all about you and your showing and your feelings and your stuff, and it's not about God, and it's not about the gospel. And that's what the gospel was used here, and 3,000 people saved, baptized, added to the church. What a blessing. God allowed them to speak in other tongues. The Holy Spirit did in verse number 4. Verse number 5, every nation was gathered together. In verse number 6, they heard him speak in their own language, in their own tongue, the Bible says. In verse number 11, it says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And so we see the tongues here where you see the spoken tongues in their own languages and their own tongues. Very clearly what speaking of tongues is here in Acts chapter number 2, correct? Very clear to see. This tongues here, in as definition, it's a language or dialect used by a particular people distinct from that of other nations. You see at the Tower of Babel where God divided the languages. I remember as a boy, I forget it was my youth pastor or someone else, but they gave us a clear illustration where at one point and I think it was my youth pastor, he would say, you know, they're working together, and at some point God confounded the languages, and he said, a man reached over and said, would you hand me the hammer? And he would use some fake Chinese or Hispanic dialect, and they'd respond, and he'd go, what are you talking about? And God divided their languages and divided the people. Now God, in the Gospels here, the Gospel was given to the Jews first, and now God is spreading the Gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth where they're speaking other languages. And God gave them this utterance to preach the Gospel to other people. And where they heard the gospel and they were saved. What a blessing that is. The people looked, and in verse number 13, they mocked, saying, "Are they full of new wine? Are they drunk?" And no, but people were speaking in a language that was understood, and they were saved, baptized, added to the church. And in the next number of verses, Peter stands up and preaches, and people at the end of this passage here again were saved, baptized, added to the church. "I do not have the gift of tongues. I barely have the gift of one tongue." We were in Mexico on a missions trip, is now a couple years ago, and they were saying, when you're in Mexico, speak the language, right? And I thought, and they're like, "Do your best to learn the language, try to speak it when you're here." And we were trying our best, and my dialect was not very good. And there was a man that came by and said, "I want to introduce you to my father." And I said a phrase in Spanish, and his son interpreted my Spanish phrase so that his father could understand what I was saying. And did not understand what I was saying. The purpose of tongues that God gave them to give preaching of the gospel, this filling of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says here, one of the gifts that God gave to them during this time, that the scriptures were not completed. I want you to turn here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn over there to chapter number 14, where God clearly, very clearly lays out the importance of what tongues are, what they are not, as the Apostle Paul is used here. And God gave this to these New Testament Christians, to the apostles, and helping to get the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. As we read in 1 Corinthians, and you could really read the whole chapter, we're not going to do that all tonight, but I want to start at the beginning here and read a first few verses, and then we'll pick a few verses out. You can continue reading through them, but for sake of time, we'll read a few of the verses. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 1, it says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy, that ye may preach in the gospel. And he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." We'll stop there for a moment here. As we look at this, he says to desire spiritual gifts. And it says that you may prophesy. But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue is speaking unto God. But he that speaks in a known tongue is speaking to men, the Bible says. He says here that, but he would rather that you prophesy, that you would preach. In verse number 4, it says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." If I'm speaking and no one else understands, is it going to do you any good? I don't think it is. We were on a missions trip. It was my first missions trip, actually. We went to Romania. And on that Sunday, the Pastor Gentry's daughter was getting married. And they drove us, I believe it was a couple of hours into the city. And we went to church that day. And their church services and their wedding is all day long. You're welcome. It was like church and wedding. It was like all combined. It was an all-day event. We were there morning to evening. And we went into church. And we sat there, and there was no interpretation. And I think he was like Paul. He was long-winded preaching, and it was a guest preacher or the pastor of that church. And he preached and preached. I had not a clue, one word that was said the whole time. The Holy Spirit did not speak to my heart that day. I did not hear or understand a word that he said. And they had the wedding and all that. But it did not edify and help me. It did for those that spoke the language. It helped those people. What is an explanation of speaking in tongues? We do know it is a known language from Acts chapter number 2. We do know that it's for the purpose of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it was going to be for a period of time. We'll look at that in a moment. But the Bible says that this tongues should have interpretation. There should be interpretation of tongues. We'd have services before, and where someone spoke, and there was an interpretation of someone that spoke the language. If I were to go speak in our Spanish-speaking ministry, and I went to speak there, Brother Mike would need to interpret for those to understand, for those that would not understand the language, or vice versa for someone else here. In verse number 5, if you look there for a moment, it says this in 1 Corinthians 14, and verse number 5, it says, "I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. That there would be someone to interpret or to explain what was said, so that there would be edifying, that there would be growth, that there would be help done for the church. In verse number 13, we'll skip down to a couple verses here that hit on this point. It says here, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret, that he would explain, interpret the language of what is spoken. Verse number 27, it says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret, that there would be someone to explain the words that are said. No doubt you've run across someone that is from a Pentecostal background or charismatic, and they believe that, church, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you run the aisles and wave around and speak in an unknown tongue that no one could understand or interpret. And if they say they can interpret it, they're lying, because they're not going to understand the gibberish that's spoken unless if it is a known language that can be interpreted. You ever met a child before that is learning to speak? And they are speaking, and it's like they are speaking a full conversation to you, but there is no language, there is no dialect going on there at all. And they're just going, and it's just blabbering coming out. I don't know what you need, kid. Sometimes as parents, you learn what your children are saying, don't you? I don't understand what your child's saying, but you do, right? And I'm like, they talk to me, and I'm like, what'd they say? You know, someone help me, I'm not sure. But that it should have interpretation. That if someone is speaking a language, that there'd be one to interpret. Why? For the purpose of edifying, to help the church. So number one, an explanation of what tongues is. It is a known language, that is, that there should be an interpretation of tongues. And then that in verse number 18 and 19, that there should be an understanding of the tongues as well. Verse number 18, it says this, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. It says this, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. He says this, it'd be better to have five words spoken that you could understand than 10,000 words in a language that you would not understand. Because I'm not going to be edified and helped by that at all. That there should be an understanding of what is spoken. I love coming to church and hearing preaching from the Word of God. And I love it when the preacher opens up the Word of God and teaches the Bible and helps you to give understanding and light to the Word of God. Why? So that it can help me in my life to grow. Amen? Every service I come to church, first of all, I'm at home studying and praying, God, help me. But when I come to church, I should be doing the same thing, listening and saying, God, speak to my heart. Help me to grow. Help me to be edified. Help me to understand more about the Word of God. Some people think, well, I've been in church long enough. I've been saved long enough. I don't need to grow anymore. I've figured it all out. And kind of like they've unlocked the key to the Word of God that no one else has, and they just don't need church anymore. They don't need Bible anymore. They've done all the growth they can. No, I need to open up the Scriptures every day and let the Word of God speak to my heart. And part of that is coming to church and hearing the preaching from the Word of God so that God can speak to my heart through the foolishness of preaching, as God would say. So the tongues is a known tongue. There's an interpretation needed for tongues, the language. There should be understanding given. And then there should also be order of the language, the speech that is given. In verse number 27, we read it already a bit. It says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. That there should be order. He says two or three at the most, and then by course, in order, and let one interpret as they speak. In verse number 31, the Bible says, is that where I am, I believe? In verse 31, it says, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him... That is not the verse that I meant to write down there. I believe it is... I missed the verse right there. But it says in verse number 28, and it says, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. looking down at verse number 33, why should there be someone interpreting? Why should it not be, could you imagine if three or four people came up here once and started speaking? Preaching from different verses, preaching different messages, that'd be confusion, wouldn't it? There'd be no understanding there. You think, what is like, you're like, someone, stop, wait. Kind of like moms or dads. All the kids want to ask you a question at the same time. You're like, I can't hear two things at once. I'm a man. My mind is single focused. I'm listening to one or the other. Promise you, it's not both of you, all right? And the Bible says one at a time. But verse number 33, it says this. For God is not the author of what? Confusion. But of peace, and in all churches, and of the saints. That God is a God of order, right? God's a God of order, and not of confusion. So if God is not the author of confusion, then who is? Right? The devil is. The devil wants to bring confusion. The devil wants to bring corruption. The devil wants to bring deception. And so if he can have you speak your own truth from God, right? I got a message from God. You're like, okay, what is it? Does it go along with what the Bible says? It's amazing how the messages that seem to come from God aren't found in the Word of God. Well, that didn't come from God then. That there should be order given when speaking. Look down at verse number 34, please. Verse number 34 says this. Now, like this part or not, it's Bible. We'll go through it. Don't worry. All right, I know you're already reading it. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. And so in regards to here, specifically in speaking in tongues, the Bible says that women should keep silence in the church, right? That's what the Bible says. Don't get upset at me. That's scripture, okay? But the Bible says for the woman to ask her husband at home to learn under him, the Bible says under obedience and following that order of authority. This is the order that in the explanation that God gives for speaking in tongues. Do you see in churches that speak in tongues where they would break a few of these rules that scripture gave? I'm not given the rules. The Bible is, right? Very clearly what the scripture says about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 8, the Bible says in verse number 8, charity never faileth, whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The Bible says tongues shall cease. There was a temporary time where God gave the gift of tongues for the purpose of preaching the gospel to the known world at the time until scriptures were completed. Aren't you thankful now? A couple things this, that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Guess what? You have all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get at the moment of your salvation. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell and live inside of you. Amen? The Holy Spirit living inside of you, the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. People talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. But guess what? Are you controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit as well? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? A couple things of application tonight is this, that God has given us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit as well. I think about that day of Pentecost as they preached and these men heard from all around the world that people were saved. It wasn't for the edifying of the apostles. It was for the edifying of Jesus Christ. It was to lift him up and for souls to be saved. I'm thankful today that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but also that we have access to the power of the Holy Spirit as well. Every day, you can quench the Spirit every day, right? The Holy Spirit living inside of you. If you live in the flesh, you're quenching the Spirit, right? But you can choose to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Just as the disciples did there in Acts chapter 1, they dwelled in Jerusalem till they were filled with power from on high. That's a challenge that we need from this message tonight in this matter of speaking in tongues. Not that you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you start running the aisles. We'll have the ushers take you out. of here. You know, that's vacation Bible school time, you know. I don't know. Teen revival time, no. But being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that God would speak and work through you for souls to be saved. Amen? That I would live in a way in my life that I would so much desire the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, that I'm praying for the power of God, that I'm living in accordance to the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit's power can work in and through my life to affect others. Number two is this, realizing that we have the full and completed Word of God in our hands today as well. As you read about Scriptures, I think something we forget about at times, maybe not forget, but it doesn't dawn on you what Christians in the Bible did or didn't have, and as you realize, they did not have the full and completed Word of God to the Bible characters, people that we read about in Scriptures. They did not have the full and completed Word of God at that time, but we do. Amen? Are you thankful that we have the Word of God in our hands? Many times people that are speaking in tongues or you have these visions from God, they're going contrary to the Word of God, right? In the Old Testament, you'd have prophets that they would hear from God and they would speak for God. They did not have the full and completed Word of God at that time, but we do. We have the Word of God that we can read every single day. Every day, and we can count on the Word of God, not adding to or taking away from it, but living in the power of the Word of God. We can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can live in the power of the Word of God. But also is this, through Jesus Christ, we have direct access to God in prayer. Amen? I don't need someone to go to God in prayer for me. I don't need to speak to God in some unknown tongue, but I can speak to God at any time. And God hears my voice, that God hears my heart, that I can speak to the God of heaven and that He mediates for us. He intercedes on our behalf. I'm thankful for the avenue that we have of prayer. But also as I think about this, as we see the power of the Holy Spirit and the showing of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, is that it should give us a burden to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we should take the Word of God that we've been given, the Holy Spirit that we're indwelled with, the power of the Holy Spirit, and we should go preaching the gospel, the Bible says, to every creature. In Acts 1:8 it says, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." That we take the gospel that was given to us and preach the gospel to others. How many times and how sad it is that we take the gospel and we keep it to ourselves and not share it with others. Hey, that power of the Holy Spirit, you see that all through the book of Acts, don't you? You read. I love the book of Acts, and I love reading about how God is working and seeing souls saved, and the gospel is being sent all around the known world at that time. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit-filled life is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the last challenge that Jesus gave to the disciples? What? "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I love the power of prayer, but I do get worried about churches that all they want to do is go around and just lay your hands and pray out for everybody. I'm like, I really don't want you touching me, okay? Can we not do that part? If someone says, "I want to pray for you," I'm like, okay, pray for me. But what about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? What about, do you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Can I tell you how Jesus died to pay for your sins? And many times it's at the outward showings of things, but where's the power of the Holy Spirit there? The speaking in tongues, I believe we need to know what we believe and why, not to argue with people, right? Not to argue, but so we can go to the Word of God in Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 14 and tell them, here's what the Bible says, but here's what it means about speaking in tongues, and talks about here speaking in tongues to edify and to be interpreted, but also to prophesy and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. May that challenge us tonight, that we would take the gift of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us in salvation, and we share that same gospel of Jesus Christ with others as well. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord.